Here comes a girl who just last week was stung by a nasty old sea nettle. Stepping out of her glass booth here at Radio Central. Wait a minute. Something's wrong.
No, nothing's wrong.
Yeah, but every time for the last 6 months I've been saying stepping out of her glass booth at Radio Central and you come in and you fall down of the microphone cable.
I just mastered my clumsiness now.
You came in like Cinderella. You just trippy-toed right in the room and beautifully.
I've been taking lessons.
Phyllis Ding Dong, huh?
Yes.
That's marvelous. You really look great. I was surprised. You have a beautiful dress on. And
thank you.
Your hair is combed. And
yes.
I noticed you got your ears lowered there.
That's right.
Right. It looks very nice.
I even them up, yes.
It really does look good. I can't believe it.
What?
Well, I'm sorry. We have ladies and gentlemen. Gee, I'm proud. Here she is, Washington's own weather girl, looking stiffy as always. Miss Janitor with the Temperatures.
Pimlico. 360, 240.
Are you excited?
130.
You were.
Hialeah, 370. 275.
Why did she?
145.
I can't believe it.
Laura, 280, 220, and $3.
Now, wait a minute. Now, you came in here so nice and you didn't trip, but I thought maybe today you'd give us a break and give us the tip. Why are you... You know it's illegal to give race results over the air on this station.
I'm
we
not reading race results.
Well, you sit there and you say, Hialeah, 340, Pimlico, 580. You're giving...
That's
track?
The price of admission to the various grandstands in the track. I guess
uh-oh.
I fooled you tonight, smarty pants.
Well, Gosh, I'm sorry, Miss Janitor. I didn't even... That's wonderful. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Where are you going?
Well, I guess you don't need me anymore. You're doing it yourself so well, I'll just leave.
Okay. Bye.
Oh.
Clumsy.
I don't believe.
That's a Jonah Jones quartet, and it's called Blue Lou. That's what it is.
How do you do, Blue Lou? Time WRC is 24 minutes after 4 o'clock in the Walker Scott Show. Ladies
and
gentlemen,
the place right here, yes.
I see now that it is time.
Good afternoon.
Arthur, excuse me just a moment, sir. Arthur.
Yeah, what?
Would you knock the music off, please?
All right, let me take the needle off.
Please.
Well, you said knock it off. You didn't say anything about fading it out.
Well, that record wasn't ready for the Smithsonian quite yet, but I think now it is. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a new announcer here at WRC, and your name is?
Les Humid.
What's your name again?
Les Humid.
Les Humid is your name?
That's right.
And where did you come to us from?
I was a 5 and 10 cent store.
No, I don't mean where were you last. I mean, where did you work last?
That's where I worked last. I did PA announcements at Murphy's, you know.
And you're our new announcer?
Good afternoon, ladies, in the lingerie department.
No, wait. I think you got the point by now. You are going to do a commercial for us now, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Mr. Les Humid, aren't you? What's the matter?
Oh, a little water here.
We got some water. Why don't you matter? Huh?
A little nervous.
Hey, help yourself. What, are you nervous?
A little nervous.
I thought you were a real pro from that.
I'm all right now.
Okay, very good.
Hand me the script.
Yeah, here's the script.
Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen.
No, wait. The music is making him nervous, Arthur.
Oh,
don't play the music.
Take the music out.
Take it. Not like the way you did the last time.
Excuse me.
Where
was I? Ladies and gentlemen, once you take your family to the Hartridge House. Your family to the Charter House. Rib room. And try their boast reef. Their boast roof.
Yeah, well,
reef spice. A boast roof.
Arthur, you better play the music. He fainted.
Get him
out of here.
He would like to murder me.
What the man was trying to tell you was the Charter House over on U.S. Route 350, which, of course, is the Shirley Highways. It's not the Shirley Highway. We better revive and let him do it. You think you can take over here?
Actually, what we're trying to say is that if you want
it's
a good roast
the account
dinner,
is what we're trying
why
to
we
say.
Suggest that you go to the Charter House, a wonderful place there. The Charter House has some wonderful roast beef out there. In the Rib Room restaurant, they start serving dinner at 5 p.m. And just let me tell you what you get there in a typical dinner. Roast beef, Idaho baked potato. Along with that, you get the Charter House salad bowl, Stratford.
Go ahead. The point is, But you must, there's one prerequisite before you go to the Charter House. You must have a Hertz truck with you.
Because you are really going to be so full by the time you leave that you're going to have trouble getting out of there.
And besides, you won't be able to eat all the roast beef they serve you. You'll have to have the Hertz truck to carry what's left off your plate home. Actually, I've never eaten so much roast beef in my life for the price they charge.
I'll tell you how to get to the Charter House. You just go out Shirley Highway to Route 350. And it's just about 10 minutes out of Washington, and you'll be seated there ordering your dinner. It's a wonderful place, and you'll have a wonderful time out there. When you get out on the Shirley Highway, turn right at Edsel Road crossover.
Right, crossover to Edsel Road, turn right.
And there you are very shortly thereafter at the Rib Room at the Charter House, and it's a wonderful place.
It's only 10 minutes from downtown Washington.
Take me to the Rib Room.
Rib Room.
How about some roast beef?
Yeah, roast beef. Okay, Edward, I guess we might as well try to bomb through another one today.
I'm kind of depressed. Did you see that memo that came out this morning?
Yeah, I just got it. And the program director says the show yesterday was a real bomb. Please try to improve the comedy, at least. The music could be better. Program director doesn't even sign his name anymore.
Kind of gets you a little bit, you know. You work hard on a show, and then something like this happens.
Yeah.
You got a letter there. Maybe that's some good news.
What, the letter?
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. I'm opening it up here. Dear Mr. Squat, Mr. Walker, caught your show yesterday. If all my radio listening, I've never heard such a bad program. The music was...
Who's that from?
Knox, huh? A listener in Falls Church.
No wonder they're unhappy.
Hey, that reminds me, fellas.
What's that, Art?
Kay, my wife, caught the show yesterday, so the only thing good about it was my engineering, so the rest of it was pretty bad.
Oh, no. Why? They always seem to run like this. What's Bob trying to say? What's Bob saying?
Said Ruth caught the show yesterday. She didn't think it was too good either.
No, that's terrible. Why don't they just leave us alone? I mean, so that one day we do a bad show, I'm going to... I'm going to call...
Yeah, they get the correct time. You can't have all good shows.
TI-4-2-5-2-5. All right, well, this will be all right anyway. Fantastic, amazing, you know.
The correct time is 6 1/2 minutes past 4 o'clock.
Boy, it sure is refreshing to hear somebody with a nice, pleasant voice for a change.
By the way, I caught your show yesterday, and it was a real bomb.
Oh, for goodness sake.
NBC Radio presents... Total Radio. Yes, the fall lineup of radio programs. Begin your day with... The Al Ross Show. Yes, The Al Ross Show from 5:30 till 9:30 every morning with music and news, sports and weather. Keep your day on the go with The Al Ross Show. Next on NBC's Total Radio. The Patty Cavan Show. The Patty Cavan Show with news, reviews, previews, and interviews every afternoon from 12:15 until 1 o'clock. Hear the Patty Cavan Show with her interesting guests on NBC Radio all week long. Next, in the middle of the afternoon at 4:05, it's the Scott and Walker Show, Total Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is James Fawcett, your announcer, speaking to you from the Robert Hall Auditorium in Washington, D.C. We're about to hear the Symphony Orchestra under the direction of Serge Soult in a performance of Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture, written, of course, by Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky. In just a moment, the concert should begin, and it should be... Something unusual seems to be happening in the orchestra pit, ladies and gentlemen. The brass section are taking up their horns and are beginning to blow. Pardon the pun. What I actually mean is they are beginning to leave the orchestra pit. I don't understand exactly what's going on. I will try to trip up one of the trumpeters as he comes by here.
Hey, you tripped me up there, Jack. Well, you watch it, you almost bruised my sousaphone.
Pardon me, sir. Could you tell me?
Yes. What is it?
Why is the brass section leaving the orchestra pit? Aren't you going to perform the 1812 Overture?
Oh, all us cats are going to get out of here. It's 4:05 in time for the Walker Scott Show. We always head south for the winter. I'll see you later.
You forgot your sousaphone.
This is Peter Hacksaw from the NBC Newsroom in Washington, D.C., bringing you World News Roundup with direct reports from overseas and around the block. Headlines of the moment, spring thaw in the Kremlin, another missile launched at Cape Canaveras, and rice paddies invaded in the Far East. We'll have direct reports in just one moment, but first, hear this. Go ahead, that's your cue. Hear this.
I can't find a copy.
You know, we're not commercial in all these cities. There are
You're not commercial. Last time I had a spot was in 1937 during a fireside chat.
This is supposed to be a public service spot.
Yeah, no, the girls upstairs, they spend less time on the phone with their boyfriend and more time with a cop.
Stand by, I go on in 10 seconds.
All right, I can't wait till you find
it. Forget it. Just give me the cue.
Smokey the Bear says, or anything.
No.
Come on,
cue me. Here we go.
Hey, once again, it's Peter Hacknose.
Hacksaw.
Hacksaw.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Now your NBC World News Roundup reports from overseas and around the block. Our lead story this morning, spring thaw in the Kremlin. For that story, we take you directly to Irving R. Lafink in Moscow.
Irving R. Lafink speaking to you from Moscow. The Russians today, in a sudden protest, spring and there could be a little more. This is Peter Hacksaw in the NBC newsroom in Moscow.
No, this is Peter Hacksaw in the NBC newsroom in Washington. You are Irving R. Lafink. Boy doesn't even know his own name. Our next story this morning, another missile being launched at Cape Canaveral in Florida. For that story, we call in Jay Strawberry.
Strawberry speaking to you from Cape Canaveral in Florida. Well, it was a beautiful sight. It was the first dawn of morning streak across the sky. We saw these beautiful the missile soared up about 6,000 feet. This is Jay Strawberry at Cape Canaveral.
We seem to be having a few technical difficulties this morning. We'll try our final story of the day. Rice paddies being invaded in the Far East. For that story, we call in Cecil Bill in Asia.
Let me do that with you, fellas.
Come in, Cecil Bill in Asia.
Cecil Bill speaking to you in Asia Minor. Well, the rice paddy situation is in front of
just a moment, Cecil. This is Peter Hacksaw. This is NBC News in Washington. I think you must be reporting for the wrong network.
Don't give me none of your stuff, Jack. I work for the Associated Press as a freelancer. I don't care who pays me. I come down to it for Mutual, Dumont, some of the local indies across the country. Just send the check. Cecil Bill, C-E-C-I-A-B-I-L-L, Cecil Bill.
Thank you, Cecil. That is our World News Roundup. Peter Hacksaw reporting from the NBC Newsroom.
Hey, I found a promo.
Forget it. The show
is fire just here destroyed.
This is the NBC Radio Network.
Pictures presents an exciting new motion picture that dares to tell the truth. The shocking frank story about young America, Brown Corduroy. Here is Miss Joan Clawfoot to tell you all about it.
This is the story of two kids who just yesterday were playmates. Kids in brown corduroy. But today, they have fallen in love. Hopelessly, maddeningly in love. They're nice kids, but the people who made the movie are not nice people because they just hired me and paid me $5 to come over here and do this crummy commercial. They wouldn't even give me a part in the picture.
Miss Clawfoot,
all I have to say
please.
Is, of all the movies that I've ever seen, I would just, what?
Miss Clawfoot, please, I mean, we're doing a commercial here. Would you mind doing it?
Yes, I know, I'm doing a commercial. Why wouldn't they give me a part in the picture?
Look, that's not the
After
point.
All, I should be the star of Brown Corduroy.
I know, that's not the whole thing.
Nobody gives me this part as well as I do. Brown Corduroy.
NBC Radio presents Wagon Train.
Here was 1871, as another pitiful pack of puny pioneers pushed their way forward westward toward the great Western Pacific country. Josiah J. Josiah was one of those pioneers. He was in Wagon Train 38, just fresh out of Omaha. Ahoy there, Josiah. Are you going west to build a new way of life for your family, a new home, a new business, a new empire for yourself?
No, I'm going out west to plant grapes in the San Fernando Valley in California and make Manischewitz wine.
But, Josiah, I just saw Morgan David and the two trains ahead of you.
Uh-oh. Hi-ho, hi-me. Hi-me.
It's time once more for Ted Crack and the original Armature Hour, the man who's given more starts to upstarts than any man in the business. And now here he is, your genial host, the man who wants to put you on the stage, Ted Crack and the original Armature Hour.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And around and around and around she goes. And where the old wheel stops, nobody knows, except the producer, because he's rigged the show. Welcome once again to the 247,000th edition of the Original Armature Hour, where this week we're going to bring some new talent before your very eyes. Last week, as you'll recall, our 95-year-old musical saw player, Joe Frampton from Hoboken, New Jersey, received 475,000 votes. He'll be back a little later on in the show. Now it's time for our first contestants, and coming out here this evening, I see two, a brother and a sister. Tell me, sir, what is your name, please, sir? Right there in front of the microphone.
Hello, Mr. Crack. It's certainly nice to see you and be with you again.
Yes, Mr. Crack.
I see. It's nice to have you. What is your name, please, sir?
My name is Marvin Marvin.
Marvin Marvin, and this is your sister?
This is my sister.
Myrtle Marvin.
Myrtle, say hello to the nice man.
Hello to... Say hello.
Hello to the nice man.
Fine. Thank you. Have me doing it now. All right, now. It says
here... Certainly a pleasure to be on your show, Mr. Crack.
It's a pleasure having you.
Been one of my ambitions for years.
You won our...
We blew the Godfrey Talent Scout show, and we were hoping we'd get on this one pretty soon.
We get a lot of rejects, yes. I see you won the Edgewood Arsenal auditions. Our group was down there last week.
We were really big at Harper's Ferry, too. We hit the State Fair circuit, and that's part of the country.
Now tell me, sir, what are you going to do? It says here you are a flamenco dancer and singer.
That's exactly right, Mr. Would you like to give our hometown a plug, Mr. Crack?
Yes, where you are from, whereabouts? Harper's Ferry?
You got the card.
Harper's Ferry, West Virginia is the hometown. All you folks watching down there, be sure to give us a call. The number here is Bigelow 473-529-642.
Hey, Mr. Crack, we got an engagement at 12 o'clock. If you don't mind, let's...
All right, let's watch them now. The Marvin, Marvin Marvin and Myrtle Marvin, brother and sister act as they do something.
Wait a minute. I play the guitar and she sings. Let's make sure we establish
that. You play the guitar and she sings.
Right, okay.
Can I play the castanet?
Okay.
All right. Let's hear from the Marvin act now. You're watching now the Marvin Brothers.
You don't mind, Mr. Crack.
The phone number here is 304-732-695.
We're going not up our act, Mr. Crack. We're driving you out a little bit for the people out here. Go, Myrtle.
Yes.
If you want to call in New York, the number is Bird Hill.
You're wrecking my sister singing, man. Mr. Crack, would you mind not singing while my sister...
Oh, I have to get you right in the mouth. Wait a minute, young man. I have to I want to give you a break here.
I'm going to give you a break right out of your head. My sister's working on that act for 14 years.
Not just a
You can call Mr. Crack at the hospital now. His number is Bigelow 4-3218. You'll be there in 10 minutes. Come on, Myrtle, let's get out of this crazy place.
Skies may be cloudy, and the weather may be murky. And here comes a girl who's both nervous and jerky. Stepping out of her glass booth here at Radio Central, here comes Washington's own weather girl, Miss Janitor. Hey, what happened? You didn't fall down.
I told you, didn't I?
That's wonderful.
And new shoes.
That's great. First time in 6 months of broadcasting you didn't fall over the mic cable.
Practice all morning.
Good girl. Now here she is, our own stabilizing factor in the program, Miss Janitor, with the Washington temperature.
6-4. 3-2. 8-7. 9-5.
Wait a minute. What are you giving here?
Baseball score.
Mm-hmm. All righty. That's very good. Baseball score. That's something that I'm sure people are interested in.
That's right.
You're on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one thing wrong.
What
are the teams that are playing? You gave the scores, but...
How should I know?
What do you mean, how should you know?
Well, that's all that came over the wire. They had a narrow piece of tape on their machine.
You mean all you got's the numbers?
Yes, I don't have the teams.
You have no idea who the teams are?
I don't even know one team from another.
That's great.
Uh-huh, I think so, too.
Swings, yeah.
Fine.
Okay, well...
Bye.
I don't believe it. Miss Janitor, the Washington weather girl. Oh, I knew it was too good to last. Call a doctor.
Girl,
gather around your radio, for the National Broadcasting Company takes great pleasure in presenting once again your friendly little storyteller, kindly old Uncle Oswald, who has endeared himself to millions of little boys and girls just like you all over the country, telling little fairy tales. Now, here he is, kindly old Uncle Oswald. Thank you, Willard Scott, and good afternoon, boys and girls. Once again, it's time for another story from the land of make-believe. Before we begin, Willard, would you pour me some of the stuff out of that pitcher into a glass for me, please?
Certainly,
so
kind.
A little dry this afternoon.
Certainly, okay. Kindly, old Uncle Oswald.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Now then, boys and girls, once upon a time, there was a lovely little girl named Little Red Riding Hood who had won a Miss Maryland contest and things of that nature. She lived on River Road.
I beg your pardon. She was just a little girl, Uncle Oswald. She lived in the woods.
I'm sorry. By the way, would you put an olive in that glass for me, Willard?
Certainly, kindly, old Uncle Oswald.
Thank you. Ah, that's better. One day, Little Red Riding Hood's mother said, "Red, would you be so kind as to take a basket of goodies to your aunt, who is..."
Uncle Oswald, it was her grandmother who was ill.
Oh, yes, of course, her grandmother.
She lived in Rockville.
Yes, I'm sorry, I forgot. By the way, would you put a dash of bitters in there for me? Just a trifle dry.
Certainly, Uncle Oswald.
Thank you. That's good. Thank you. Now then, Little Red Riding Hood was a good, obedient girl, so she wanted to do what her mother told her to, so she went by the Safeway and bought a basket of goodies. And
it was
proceeded...
a giant food store.
Oh, yes, of course. And she proceeded to... Could you put a wedge of lemon in there for me, please?
I think so, Uncle Oswald. Let's
thank you. That's very nice. So she went down the road, and she encountered a mean old fox.
No, it was a wolf,
and this...
Uncle Oswald.
A wolf.
Yes,
fox. A wolf. And this wolf said, "Well, where are you going, Red?" And she said, "I'm going to see my grandmother, who has a touch of hay fever."
Asthma.
Asthma, yes. And, by the way, could you just mix that up a little bit for me? It's a trifle flat. I don't know what's wrong with this beverage here.
The ice is also melted
out. Yes, drop a tube of ice in there for me, sir, would you please? Thank you. So the mean old wolf decided that he would get there before Red Riding Hood and eat the grandmother.
Rah!
On the way over, Red Riding Hood stopped by the home of the three bears, Hal, Erlich, and Mary.
No. Wait a minute. There were no three. It's another story, Uncle Oswald.
Well, we get her mixed up with Goldilocks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So finally, Red got to her...
She lives in the Woodner, I believe.
That's right, yes. Red Riding Hood got to her grandmother's house, and she knocked on the door. And, of course, the mean old wolf had been there before and had eaten Grandma. And the wolf said, "Who's there?" And Red Riding Hood said, "It's me, Grandma."
It is I, Grandma,
and I've got a basket of goodies for you. Can I come in? And the wolf said, "Yes, of course you may come in. Would you just stir that up a little?"
Sure, Uncle Oswald.
And so Little Red Riding Hood went on inside, and she said, "My grandma, what big eyes you have."
Teeth.
And the wolf said, "Yes."
We're getting a cut signal, has to be teeth.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Well, yes, he said, "The better to eat you with, my dear." And he jumped up, put a little tenderizer on Red Riding Hood and started to eat her. But just at that time, mind you, somebody from the welcome wagon stopped by because...
The woodsman, Grant.
Oh, the woodsman stopped by, and he killed the mean old wolf, met Red Riding Hood, and they lived happily ever after. And that, my boys and girls, is the story of Little Red Riding Hood. Sorry. Great moments in history. The facts and true stories behind momentous events that have helped to shape the present-day world. And now for today's exciting true story on Great Moments in History. Our theme was Boston, Massachusetts. The year was 1775. The story about the great Boston Tea Party and how it actually happened. We're inside a large warehouse outside the harbor of Boston. A group of men are sitting around a mahogany table.
I don't know. Why do they want us here anyway?
Gentlemen, may we please attention to this?
Yes.
I suppose you all wonder why I've called you here this afternoon.
That's correct. Why did you call us here this afternoon?
Are you here, young Rubicon?
Yes.
Are you here, J. Walter Thompson?
No.
Are you here, Burton, Barton, Desmond, and Osborne?
We're all here.
Very good. Are you here, McCann Erickson?
Yes, we're here.
Are you here, Carol Lick and Medic?
Yes, we're here.
Very good. We are ready now for our tea party. Are you ready?
Yes.
Here we go.
Why don't you have my tea more often? Why don't you have my tea tonight?
Oh, gentlemen. This is a new campaign for tea this year. What do you think?
I think it's a smash, and someday it'll go down in history as the Boston Tea Party.
Sensational.
And that's today's great moment in history. The real story behind the Boston Tea Party. Why it was organized. What was its result. And how it came to be. And I'm sick. West on the Gotham Boulevard come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Platinum. With a cloud of dust and a hearty high-ho slobber, the Sodbuster rides again. Nowhere in the pages of history can you find a greater campaign of justice, a more fearless, hard-riding, straight-shooting, beer-drinking, peace-eating son of the sod. It's the Sodbuster. A true gentleman of the old school. Men feared him. Little children respected him. Women loved him. A true gentleman.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Return with us out of those bling days of any old year when Alan Northwest we find the hoofbeats of great horse, Platinum, and the Sodbuster. And on the territory of Hyattsville, on beyond Tacoma Park, out toward Rockville, on past Route 240, up toward Frederick County Road, with Sodbuster and his sidekick, Chester Drawer.
Hey, Chester. Oh, Mr. Dillon, you kicked me right in the side.
Because you're my sidekick, Chester.
That's the corniest line since Who the Beast.
Suns have just settled down in the sleepy town of Rockville. As our story opens, the Sodbuster, U.S. Marshal Matt Dillard, was inside of his office. Chester walks in.
That's fortunate. Chester, that limp is getting worse. Sit down, Chester. Rest a spell.
Oh, Mr. Dillard, it sure has been hot these past few...
Next phase. Bay, yes, it sure has, Chester.
What's he doing in the office today, Marshal?
Oh, just waiting.
Waiting for what, Marshal?
Phone call, Chester.
A phone call, Mr. Dillard?
Yeah, I can't tell you what it is, Chester. It's a big secret.
Why, Mr. Dillard, you can tell me. I'm your sidekick.
No, Chester, this is bigger than both of us. I'm just afraid to talk about it, because if I do, something will happen.
Now, that's downright foolishness, Marshal. You can tell me what the phone call is all about, our nation's...
Chester, I haven't even told Kitty about it. Oh, there she is. Hello? Marshal Dillard. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Bye-bye. Now, Chester, that's
Marshal, it. Now, maybe you can tell me why all the tarnation mystery about the phone call.
Yes, I can, Chester.
Who is it from, Marshal?
It was my agent in New York. He got me a guest shot on Maverick next week. That's what I've been waiting for all my life, Chester.
Marshal?
What?
There's just one thing that bothers me.
What's that, Chester?
How come you got a phone call and they ain't even invented the telephone yet?
I was afraid you'd put a damper on the whole thing, Chester.
You've been listening to The Exciting Adventures of the Sodbuster, written for radio by Larry DeRitz, produced by Bertie Harrison, directed by Dave Reckway. The entire production is supervised for NBC Radio by Bernice Will Next in TV.
Good evening, friends. This is Raymond, your host, welcoming you to Inner Sanctum. Welcome. This evening, we present another story for your late evening listening. Full of ghouls and goblins and ghosts. Tonight's story titled... Murder at Midnight.
It was just past midnight. I was walking in the house alone. The wind was whistling outside.
I'd gotten the note in the mail that morning, and I knew they were coming to kill. They were coming to kill. They were coming to kill. They told me in the note that they were coming to kill. I didn't know what to do. I quickly walked and checked every door in the house. I walked over to the windows to make sure they were locked tight. They called me and told me they were coming to kill. I knew they were coming to kill. It wouldn't be long before they'd be here to kill. All of a sudden, I heard a knock at the door. In terror, I tore back to the wall as fast as I could. I got up against the wall, and then the door was jammed open. And there he was, standing at the doorway, with his instruments of death to kill.
My motto be your command. My motto be your command. What's her my defense? It's just common sense. My motto be your command.
You see, we've had bugs in our house. Termites, crawling things. They've been all over the house. Oh, was I glad to see that Otto.
This is your janitor reporter, Willard Scott, speaking to you from the Lion House at the Washington Zoo here in Washington, D.C., at the beautiful Rock Creek Park. And your janitor microphone is here at feeding time at the zoo, and we're going to discuss feeding time with the head zookeeper and the head feeder here at the Lion House, Mr. Clyde Booty. Mr. Booty?
Good afternoon, sir. Glad to know you.
Welcome to our show. It's wonderful to have you. Who is this tremendous lion, this great thing? He looks like he's about a 300-pound lion.
That's Leo, one of our favorite lions over here.
I thought he looked familiar, have I?
He had a contract with MGM there for a long time.
How old is this lion?
This lion must be about 15, 20 years old.
Well, this is certainly an interesting lion. I've never...
Ferocious cat.
Really quite a beast. Where was he captured?
He was captured in Africa, brought back by one of the outstanding explorers, Frank Buck or Frank Bill or somebody like that years ago.
I see. Well, you're going to feed the lion for us, aren't you? We arranged to be here at feeding time.
That's right. Of course, today's Monday. These lions haven't been fed all weekend, and they're... just a little bit hungry. We give them an extra dose on Monday.
Aren't you a little nervous about going into a lion cage?
Not at all. No, I've worked with lions. I've been working with the cats for years in the circus, and I've trained them, and, you know, they know me. They know their master.
Well, we're very familiar with bad lions on this program, so we'd like to watch you go in and
feed. Don't mind me. I'm just mixing up a little bit of food here.
About 2 pounds of beef over there, isn't it?
Yeah, there's some cornmeal for...
Good, yeah, I know.
There we are. A little protein in there.
A lot of raw vegetables. So go ahead and open the cage and we'll watch you.
All right, now stand back, you fellas.
How do we get here?
Ladies and gentlemen, apparently the meal that the lion tamer fixed up for the lion wasn't enough, but the lion managed to make a meal out of the lion tamer anyway. This lion, I think somebody ought to give him some bites at all. We switch you now back to our studio.
And now...
King-Kong Birdseed, the greatest name in birdseed, the only birdseed that makes your parakeet look like an ape, sound like a lion, and gentle as a bear, brings you the exciting true life story of just plain Stella Bear, starring Margaret Hotburn in the title role of Stella Bear and Lil Litty. Is our story opens, it is late Friday night. Mama Bear and Papa Bear and their wealthy young 38-year-old playboy son, Herbert Bear, have just planned a voyage to Ocean City where they're spending the weekend. They arrive, however, at 2 o'clock in the morning, and the only hotel that's open is an old, beat-up, rickety place down on the south side, and they get a room on the 10th floor. As we open up, apparently they're just gotten all set, and they're going up to the floor now to get...
Your room is on the 10th floor. You'll find it very comfortable.
Thank you so much, dearie.
Thank you a whole lot.
Yeah, that's right, ma'am. Thank you very much.
10th floor. I guess I'll have to walk on the way up there.
Oh, boy. Here, it's nice to be able to go to...
Push him.
I'll be plumb tuckered out.
That floor there, Paul. Boy, you sure is a steep staircase you got here in the mall.
Don't drop the booze, Herbert.
No. Hope the sun is shining. I want to get a nice suntan out
there. I'm sorry. Paid for your shoes. They can put a bee in there. Ooh, that embarrassment.
Here's the eighth floor.
Eighth floor. I don't think I'm going to make it. I'm all pooped out.
Here, let me help you push up there, Ma.
Boy, this door is a tough climb. I haven't had so much. I see ninth floor, one more to go.
I guess we're a bee because I'm an eagle up here in the nest.
You know something? We must be pretty far up. My nose is beginning to bleed.
Harper, don't be longer. The bee getting rid of it. Come on.
There it is, Ma.
Okay, room 63B.
Yeah, get out the key and open the door, Ma.
Harper, you talk about the key.
We don't have the key. I thought Papa Bear had the key.
No, I don't have the key, Ma.
Nobody's got the key.
They didn't think I had the key, did you?
Well, I did, sure, but I'd be doggone if I'm going to walk all the way down there and get those keys.
Oh, you won't have to walk, Herbert.
What do you mean?
Come here.
What are you doing?
Ah! Oh!
Looks like Silver's made eight floors and Mickey split. King Kong Birdseed, the greatest name in birdseed. What are you laughing about, you wild man? You're getting paid. The only name in birdseed that makes your pedigree look like an ape, sound like a lion, and gentle as a bear has brought you the exciting, heartwarming story of Just Plain Stella Bear. Based on the book Not Enough Soon Enough by Claudia Clyde, adapted for radio by Geraldine Tick. Geraldine, this is a Sherman D. Tank production.
Sure, the mantelpiece so I can stand to eat my dinner. I want to
put your teeth away and manage some death. And now, a WRC 60-second editorial. Here's WRC's 18th Vice President with an editorial for the birds. WRC Radio believes in money. You might say we have a yen for yen. For years, money has been the backbone of which our economy has been built. Money creates jobs. Jobs create people working. People working create traffic jams downtown. Traffic jams create listeners in cars. Listeners in cars listen to radio. And that, in turn, creates more money for radio. We're in business for money. You're in business for money. And we're in business to get your money. Answer me a question. Has there ever been a time, has there ever been a place where money wasn't accepted, wasn't popular? No, and again I say no. Regardless of who you are, no matter where you are, remember you're never far, you're always near, it's always welcome, it's always in vogue. Money, money, money. Wherever distinguished people congregate, you'll always find money. You've just heard a 1 minute editorial for the birds.
That's one way to put it. Right now, the time has come to walk down the hall to Betty Crockett's experimental kitchen. Come on, Willie boy.
Okay, Edward, let's go.
A little beef behind the door here now, so we can start to get this thing open.
I'll help you open the door. Oh, that door's sticking every day.
There it goes. Welcome to Betty Crockett's experimental kitchen. Each Tuesday afternoon of this time, WRC presents a visit with its home economist, Miss Betty Crockett, of the Queen of the Kitchen Range. Here she is, lovable Betty Crockett.
Hello, Eddie.
Hi, Betty. How are you?
You
look good today.
Fine as a fiddle.
Betty, can I have some of that jelly roll?
Arthur, get your hands off the jelly roll. Besides, I ain't going to give nobody none of my jelly roll.
You sound like an old Phil Harris record there. Well, Betty,
you're
working hard in the kitchen today.
Yes, I am, Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
How are you?
Fine.
Good to see you, fella.
Same here.
Looking so good, huh, Susan?
Just fine, Betty.
Cutest of all. Oh, that's the cutest baby.
Thank you, Betty.
I saw her yesterday.
Uh-huh.
She's so cute down in Friendship. She's down
there. Wow, she does. She likes you, too. How about our...
She likes the college boys, Eddie.
Uh-huh. Just 15 months old.
That's a cute child, Eddie.
How about our recipe
for
today?
Just these cute little things I ever did see. How's Nancy?
Just fine.
Wonderful, Eddie.
Uh-huh. How about our recipe?
Who's that big fellow over there?
That's Willard.
Hello, Betty.
Ignored Willard.
Your hair's growing back, Bunky.
Thank you.
How about our recipe?
I'd like to, yes.
All right, let's have it.
Didn't you bring it?
Well, no. That's what I came down here for. You have the recipe.
I... No, I... Oh,
No, what? See, that's your, here it is, right here on this card.
All right.
You got it laying right there on the stove.
Oh, but he's getting absent-minded here.
Now, what is our recipe for today?
Sometimes I do miss my mind every once in a while, just for fun.
Sure.
Well, today, Eddie, I thought the girls would like to know about some salted seagulls.
Oh, that sounds like a rare delicacy, something I've never heard of. Salted seagulls?
That's right. You get them now, especially fresh down around the water, don't you know?
Yeah, they do fly in near the shore,
they're shore birds, yes. Well,
how do you catch them?
Well, any way you want to. Why?
You got to get one before you can salt it, don't you?
That's right. Yes, preferably you get one and salt him down.
Just salt him all the way around. Huh?
Salt him on his tail and let him fly.
And then you cook him and serve him?
No, that's just it. It's a beach party. It's nothing to eat.
You don't eat him?
That's a recipe for fun.
Well, what's the point in salting a seagull if you're not going to eat it?
Well, it's just National Be Kind to Seagulls Week, and I thought you'd go out and salt one.
Fine. Thank you very much, Betty.
Get your hands on Jilly Roll.
Well, there you have it. Have another visit with our charming home economist, Miss Betty Crockett, Queen of the Kitchen Range. Join us next Tuesday for another recipe. Until then, Betty Crockett says,
goodbye, everybody, and so long until tomorrow.
So long, Betty.
Here we are in the midst of July, and here's the girl with a sty on her eye, stepping out of her glass booth here. Oh, my heavens, there. BBI's, you busted everything there. You fell right over the light cable. Will you watch it, please?
You expect me to wear a patch over that eye to cover it up?
No, Van Heusen, I didn't. I just thought that I'm sorry I brought the whole thing. Here she is, ladies and gentlemen, Washington's own weather girl, to give us the temperatures for the Washington area.
Thank you.
Wait a minute. Here she is, Miss Janitor.
Meatloaf. $2.20. Toll House cookies. $3.50. Apple turnovers. $3.10.
Wait a minute, Aunt Jemima.
$4.60.
Hialeah, $4.60. Now wait a minute. What are you doing?
This is National Use Your Oven Week, and I'm giving temperatures of things that you can bake in the oven.
I think you've just cooked your own goose on this program, Miss Jemima.
Really?
I think so, yeah. You really, this is the new heights of being completely out of it as far as...
Have a Toll House cookie.
Oh. They're pretty good. You bake these yourself?
Yes.
You're a pretty good cookie baker. I didn't realize.
Bye.
Been another ringworm arrangement there. You had the wrong page, kids. Weatherman says actually mostly cloudy with occasional showers and a few scattered thunderstorms this afternoon, tonight, and Thursday. High near 80 degrees today and tomorrow. Low about 68 tonight. Temperature right now, 77 degrees. Relative humidity, 73%. That's what the weatherman has to say. Die hard. They just never will say die. Well,
I think he did that on purpose.
Yeah,
sure.
I just have a little laugh here.
Frank Forrest will come down and cut your barometer out of your head.
No. I'll do a spot or something.
I'm sure that all of you who work in offices are familiar with the inner office memo. And we at NBC, of course, receive inner office memos, too. Some of them are really works of art. So we feel it only fair that we should share these literary gems of wisdom with you, our audience. And so we present for your listening edification, Memos from Management. First of all, Memo 1356-A to Bill Grayson, or rather from Bill Grayson, Program Director, to all staff announcers.
In making station breaks, please omit the expression broadcast house, as this has been used by another station. Regards, BG.
Our next memo, 1452, from the building engineer, to all people having occasion to use the studio area.
please refrain from bringing food into the radio and TV broadcasting studio. Recently, a ham sandwich was discovered in the announcing booth for television, and some of the announcers took it personally. Thanks for your cooperation, Charlie. Memo 1683 from Mr. Fritz Balzer, music director, to all those having occasion to use records or transcriptions on the air. Recently, it has come to my attention that someone has been filing the News on the Hour beeper theme in the Patty Cavan Phil music bin. If Miss Cavan were to ever need Phil music, that is, if and when this were ever possible, it would be most embarrassing. Let's all try and help. Yours for better broadcasting, Prince. And now, finally, memo 1465 from George McKinnon, building superintendent, to all employees. Recently, an incident involving a little old lady who was taking a tour of the station with one of the pages took place that should not be repeated if possible. She became separated from the tour and did not show up until 3 days later when somebody put a dime in the chewing gum machine to get some chiclets, and instead of chiclets, out came the little old lady. This kind of carelessness is bad for public relations, so let's try and put a stop to it. Would advise being a little more careful when attempting to jimmy the vending machine. Thank you. Join us next when we present Literary Inner Office Memos from Management.
Yes, Marco Polo was a charter member of the 3A's.
No, Rudy Valley is not a geographical location in Southern California.
Yes, R.J. Reynolds rolls his own.
No, Worcester on the Stake is not the name of a city in England. It's time once more for radio's time-honored program, The Answer Man. Now in its 83rd year, each week at this time, The Answer Man answers the questions you, the radio listeners, have sent to him. And now, here he is, The Answer Man.
Well, good afternoon, friends, and thank you, Willard Scott. I see we have a big stack of mail here today.
A real snoot, Paul. Yes, Mr. Answer Man.
All right, let's get to our first letter.
A lady from Silver Spring writes, mm-hmm. A few weeks ago, a traveling hobo offered to repair my TV set for a free meal.
Yes?
While working on it, the set tipped over and fell on him. That was 2 weeks ago, and the set is still on the bum. I hated to do that.
I think that's one of the better ones we've had. I think she wrote to the wrong department there. I don't think
the
I
get it. The set is on the bum. When it's on the bum, the hobo is a bum.
Yeah, I get the gag, but I almost did. Next question.
A curious listener from Rockville writes, what is that space between your teeth called?
Your mouth. What do you think it is? Between your upper and lower? That's a ridiculous question.
A young horse lover from Potomac would like to know, how do you raise a horse?
Well, you could light a fire under him or all sorts of things. I get a crowbar and lift him up in the air if you want to, one thing and another.
A gentleman from just off Rock Creek Park writes, what is the age-old and tested formula for making corn plaster?
Well, now, that's an interesting question. First of all, you take a little corn, mash it up, let it age there for about 20 minutes, run it through the thing, the distillery, and you drink that corn, and you're going to get plastered. That's
You've been listening to radio's time-honored program, The Answer Man, maybe for the last time. If you have any questions for which you'd like the answer, just address a card or letter to The Answer Man, WRC Radio, Red Square, Hartburn 2, Virginia, along with $745 to cover the cost of handling and mailing. Be with us again next week when, once again, we'll present The Answer Man.
That's still on the bomb. I like that.
Not a bad gag, right?
Mushmouth speaking to you from Ping Pong on the Ball, here in the sunny southern coastal regions of England, where we're broadcasting this afternoon the Ping Pong Tournament of the World. It's the final game of this three-day match that has gone on between Sir Adrian Applejack, Ping Pong champion of Wessex, and Sir Alistair Wigwag, who is the London champion of ping pong. Now, the final game is about to get underway. Sir Adrian picks up his paddle.
Yourself, Sir Adrian,
Sir Alistair picks up his paddle, and the judge now bids the game go on.
Go on, yeah.
Serve that beautiful serve by Sir Alistair. A return, a nice return by Sir Adrian Applejack. Sir Alistair seems to be in a bit of a trouble there. He's up. That's a long. Oh, that's a beautiful shot there by Sir Adrian. A wonderful. Ooh, look at that tremendous recovery by Sir Adrian. It's a marvelous game. Oh, there's 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 10, 21. The game is all over. That's wonderful. That's marvelous. Sir Adrian is the new champion. How about that? Sir Adrian is
the new champion.
Sir Adrian, where?
Sir Adrian, in ping pong, one is not supposed to jump over the net. Oh, dear.
I'll wait till later.
And now, from Warner Systems, a new grandiose motion picture. This Crabgrass is Mine, starring Rock Rockpile and Marcia Swamp. And now here's the star of This Crabgrass is Mine, Rock Rockpile.
Hi, I'm Rock Rockpile, and I'm starring in the wonderful new motion picture This Crabgrass Was Mine with Marcia Swamp. I've been in some dramatic motion pictures, ladies and gentlemen, in my life, but never have I been in a duller, a more dramatic motion picture than This Crabgrass Was Mine. Here, ladies and gentlemen, in my humble opinion, is the most dramatic scene that I've ever played with Marcia Swamp as my supporting actress.
John, I know what you want.
That's right, Marcia. I came here for what I had to come here for. Crabgrass.
John, do you think for 1 minute that my father would sell you crabgrass?
That's not the point. If I don't have your father's crabgrass, I'll lose everything I have. I've worked for 40 years to get crabgrass. I've got crabgrass everywhere in town, stored up, waiting for this big move. And now you tell me I can't have your father's crabgrass. I...
All right, John. In this envelope, it's what you've been waiting for.
It's your father's lunch. It's your paper bag you gave me.
Yes.
I don't want a lunch. I got plenty. I need crabgrass. That's why I need crabgrass.
All right, John. I'll give you the crabgrass. But I don't want you to think for 1 minute that I love you.
You don't love me?
No. I don't even like you.
You don't like me?
As a matter of fact, I hate you.
See, This Crabgrass Was Mine starts Thursday at the Lowe's High Theater.
What?
Fidel, you're not on till Sunday. Give us Agent Briggs.
WRC, WRC-FM, NBC in Washington.
My part, wait a minute. 5 o'clock, and here's the network.
From the annals of American history come the true stories of Major John Singleton Mosby, CSA, Confederate States of America, and the story of the Yellow Ghost.
We got our men from Texas, from the mountains, the backwoods, and the plains. We got them from West Virginia, from Tacoma Park, Hyattsville. We were short three men, so we got some from Bermuda, thus the Bermuda Shorts. Both Yebs and Ranky strangers, they called us Nosby strangers. Both north and south, they knew my fame. Yellow Ghost is what they call me. Chicken Little is my name.
This is the story of Major John Singleton Mosby, CSA, Confederate States of America, of the Yellow Ghost. As our story opens, Major Nosby and his sidekick, Sergeant Miles, are standing inside the telegrapher's office. Apparently, they're waiting word from Lee in Richmond.
Yes, Sergeant. Any moment now, I expect to have the word from Lee in Richmond.
Son of a gun, Major. Is Lee going to send you another message by telegraph?
That's right, Sergeant. I wish you'd take some speech lessons. This is very embarrassing when we have to sit down at the conference table.
Wait, Major. Major, it's coming through now. Let me write it down quickly.
Catch it for me, Sergeant.
I got the message, sir. I get it. That's it. It's from Lee. Okay, sir.
That's it.
Major.
Yes.
It's from Lee. It's from Lee in Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sir. It says, 2 shirts, 1 pair of spats, pair of pants, 2 derby hats.
Good, good.
Sir, is this from General Lee in Richmond?
No, it's from Wong Lee, a Chinese laundry operator in Richmond. I sent all my clothes out to him, Sergeant.
Son of a gun. You sure are stupid, but you're clean.
Both north and south, they knew our fame. Yellow Ghost is what they call me. Chicken Little is my name.
Here at WRC, where the WRC engineers have just finished their 4 o'clock afternoon tea. The engineers apparently are coming back to work to do their little jobs around the station as we join them in the lounge.
Okay, fellas, I'm ready now to go in and do the Willard Scott Network show.
The voice you're listening to is that of Arthur Page, the engineer who does the Walker Scott show from 4:05 to 6:10.
Now then, before I go into the studio, fellas, I wish that you would join me in a chorus of our engineer's song to sort of encourage me to do a superb job this afternoon, because this show is such a complete nothing. All right, if you give me a couple of notes on the piano there. that. Well, here we go, all right? High fidelity. High five the thing for me. With an LP disc and an FM set and a quarter-inch cabinet. High frequency range, complete with auto change. All the highest notes, neither sharp nor fat, right?
Here, come here, smile back.
You said it.
Then I ought to be
the every passing bat. With my high fidelity. Thanks, fellas. I know I'll be a smash.
The time that all the women have been waiting for, so let's just peruse down the hall here a little bit. What do you say?
Okay, our experimental visit with our experimental girlfriend, right?
All right, here's the kitchen. Let's lean on the door here a little bit.
Okay, I'll do it. There we go. Yeah.
Welcome to Betty Crockett's Experimental Kitchen. Each Tuesday afternoon at this time, WRC is proud to present their home economist, Miss Betty Crockett, queen of the kitchen range. Here she is in her experimental kitchen, Miss Betty Crockett. Good afternoon, Betty, and how are you today?
Hello, Eddie. Hello, Eddie. How are you?
Fine. How are you, Betty?
Good to see you, Eddie.
Can I have some of that sound sunflower? Ow!
Get your hands off my sunflower cookie sheet. I don't know what's got in you. You're a regular two-time glutton, Paige. Every time you come in old Betty's kitchen, you get your hands all over the food.
Well, I don't get nothing to eat at home, you see.
Well, that's not my fault. If your wife can't fill up that grotesque tank.
No. Let's be.
Wait, Betty, a little
pleasant on the air. Yes.
Restraint here, darling.
Well, I don't care about no darling restraint.
Well, all right. How about a recipe, then?
Yes, I thought the girls might like a little something special today, don't you know?
Yeah, clear your throat, please.
A little hot weather menu.
Mm-hmm.
I got a frog in my throat.
Do you really?
Yeah,
I hear him, yes.
He's down there, just a chirping.
Well, what kind of recipe do you have for the girls today?
Mm-hmm, surely I did.
That's nice. What is it?
What's that, Eddie?
The recipe.
Oh, the recipe, yes. Well, today I thought the girls might like a little something extra special, so I fixed up something good for just what ails you.
What ails us?
Well, I think he's sick in the head.
Oh, I see. Well, what do you think the girls would like for recipe?
It's called Herringbone Hangover.
Well, here's a novel title. I assume that it's made from herring, is that right?
Exactly, Eddie.
Mm-hmm. How's
most
that?
Men have...
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's all right. Arthur, what are you doing sneaking behind the
stove over there? Oh, I found another one of them sunflower cookies over there.
Disgusting is what you are, you big old engineer.
Well, let's get back to the recipe here.
Well, most husbands around the house have an old herringbone suit, don't you know?
True.
Mm-hmm. And 9 times out of 10, there's a little material that's hung over.
You mean,
Not the husband, the suit.
The suit is hung over.
The suit's hung over,
I see what you mean, yes. Uh-huh.
You cut over the hangover, and you put it in a pot and boil it for about an hour and a half with some parsley snipes and a little reddish juice and a side order of vichyssoise, and that's it.
Oh, that doesn't have anything to do with herring.
Well, that's herring bone. I didn't say it was that kind of herring.
Is this supposed to be good to eat?
What?
So you're supposed to eat this?
No, you sit around and finger it with your big old fat fingers.
Oh,
what do you mean?
Sense.
Of course you eat it.
Well, it doesn't sound very appetizing.
Well, I've never in my life seen anything like it.
Well, thank you very much, Betty. That certainly is a...
They don't treat me this way on the Mark Evans show when I go over there to get
just
my...
one little cookie.
If you don't get big hands off the cookie sheet.
So we leave this domestic bliss for another week.
Yes,
we'll be back next Tuesday when we have another visit from Betty Crockett, our experimental kitchen. Betty, get out of here. Close the door.
And now, Circle Team, the greatest name in pizza-flavored orange drink, brings you another exciting episode of Captain Daybreak. Boys and girls, don't forget to stay tuned after today's exciting program for our special secret decoding message. And now, for our exciting episode today. As our story opens, we find Captain Daybreak in the laboratory of his home in downtown.
Let's see what this message says. Captain Daybreak, there is a bomb planted in your laboratory, which will go off at 5:25. Great Scott, that means I only have a little less than 3 minutes to discover where the bomb is and call the police. Ivan Shark is up to his tricks again. Well, let me use the phone. I'll call the police.
Hey, I know, Joyce.
this sounds silly to me, too. I can't understand why, but last time I was...
Chuck.
Something wrong with the phone here.
Hello, Chuck.
Hello, this is Chuck.
Yes, Chuck, this is Captain Daybreak. Can I use the phone, please?
I'm sorry, Captain Daybreak, but I'm on the phone right now. I'm going to give about 2 more minutes. Please give me just...
Chuck, 2 minutes might be too late. I just received a note. There's a bomb somewhere in this laboratory.
I know, Captain Daybreak. I've heard the show, but that's
don't
not
be
my
funny,
problem.
Chuck. No, there's a time bomb here. It's going to blow up.
Look, I got
to
get a date for the prom tomorrow.
Please get off the phone, Chuck. This is urgent.
Just give me another minute.
Chuck,
one more
hang
minute.
Up, please, I beg of you to hang up that phone.
Just 1 more minute, please.
Oh,
please.
Chuck. What am I going to do? Maybe I can find him. Let's see, I wonder if it's... No, it's not over here. I've got to use that phone. Let me just try it again.
Something has a friend, Tom. It seems like 40 years since I've been back.
Ichabod.
Ichabod. Oh, Tom Mix, I'll be right with you. Hello, yes, who
Ichabod,
is it?
Ichabod, stop talking to Tom Mix on the phone. I must have the phone immediately.
I'm sorry, Captain Daybreak, but I'll just be another second.
Another second might be too late, Ichabod.
Why didn't you tell me Captain Daybreak wanted the phone? I didn't realize. Just another second.
There's
Captain
a bomb Daybreak. In this laboratory, Ichabod.
I know. I heard the show and also...
Not you, too. Ichabod, would you hang up the phone, please?
Yes,
I must
over.
Call the police.
Just a few seconds, Captain Daybreak.
Oh, what's the use? These people are against me. My friends, supposedly, my... Let me try the phone just one more time.
I tried to get you a date, Chuck, but I couldn't possibly get you one.
Joyce.
Hello.
Joyce, this is Captain Daybreak. This
you
is
don't use that same line about the bomb, are you on me, Captain Daybreak?
No, Joyce. This is an X-9-235 emergency. Please get off the phone. There's a bomb somewhere in this laboratory, and if
a
I don't
bomb,
call the
Captain
police...
Daybreak.
In the
next... You can have the phone now, Captain Daybreak.
Forget it, Joyce.
You've just heard another exciting episode of Captain Daybreak, brought to you by Circle Team, the greatest name in pizza-flavored orange drink. And now, boys and girls, here's Captain Daybreak with tonight's secret decoder message.
That's right, boys and girls, our secret decoder message for this evening. X-243, Z-235, L-468, Q-231.
Hey, Captain Midnight.
Yes?
What is tonight's secret decoder message?
That means... This is the month to buy a Rambler.
Thank you, ma'am. Good afternoon, folks. I'm your friendly neighborhood druggist, and I'd like to take this opportunity... Son, would you take your hands off the bubble gum, please?
I just wanted to see the bubble gum, Mr. Druggist.
That's all right. Just keep your hands off. Friends... We are your friendly neighborhood druggist, and it's our opportunity to tell you, son, would you please take your hands off that bubble gum, please? And
I just want to see the wrapper on the inside. I'll put it right back. I'm not going to chew it.
Keep your little hands off of it, will you? So, folks, we'd like to have you stop by, and if at any time we can be of service... Kid, I told you to take your hands off that bubble gum.
The bubble gum.
Stop in and see your friendly neighborhood druggist soon, won't you? And now...
Once again, the makers of King Kong bird seed, the greatest name in bird seed, the only bird seed that makes your parakeet look like an ape, sound like a lion, and gentle as a bear brings you the heartwarming true-to-life story of Just Plain Still a Bear, starring Margaret Hotburn to get its stage and screen star in the title role of kindly old Still a Bear. As our story opens, we find Mama Bear and Papa Bear sitting in the living room, apparently having just bought a new kind of dog whistle that's supposed to be high frequency. As we open up, we hear Papa Bear say...
I'll tell you, Ma, this is the most hi-fi whistle that's on the market today. This is guaranteed to bring the dog back when he wanders off into the neighbor's yard.
I know. We've got the only hi-fi dog in the neighbor, Heathkit. He's been around here for 6 years.
Yeah, it's a wonderful dog.
Here he comes when you call him. I think he's...
The big woofer is what he is, Ma.
Yeah, but he loves the tweeters, too. He's all right. He gets around, that old Heathkit.
Well, now, let me show you this whistle, Ma. He's just a little thing, but...
What kind of a whistle is this, Papa Bear?
Supersonic high-frequency whistle, and nobody can hear it but dogs.
Oh, don't give me all that jazz, Papa Bear. Now, what kind of whistle is the supersonic hoople there?
Well, what it is, Ma, is when you blow on this whistle, you can't hear it, but it hurts the dog's ears, see? And the dog will come running home, and yet it won't disturb the neighbors with it off.
You mean to tell me that you've got a whistle that only dogs can hear?
That's right. When we try it out?
All right. It's kind of silly to blow and not hear nothing.
Well, now, just wait a minute. Here we go.
I didn't hear a thing, Papa Bear. Quiet as a church mouse.
Did you call me, Ma? I heard somebody calling me there just a minute ago.
Good heavens, Herbert. Papa Bear?
Why, I think...
Get the sergeant's flea powder. He's scratching behind his ear. We've got a problem.
Yes, we sure do. Herbert, what's the matter with you?
I wanted to bury all my soup bones back in the backyard.
Yeah, looks like Herbert Dale get his mouth washed out with Sergeant's police help tonight.
The dog show, eh?
They always are. Why change them now? We've got a good thing going. Woo-hoo. King Kong Birdseed has brought you another 2 days. It's all over. King Kong Birdseed has brought you another exciting episode of Just Plain Stella Bear. Starring Margaret Hotbird in the title role of kindly old Stella Bear. Based on the book Not Enough Soon Enough by Claudia Klein, adapted for radio by Geraldine Fitzgeraldine. This has been a Sherman D. Wolf production. Now, you mangy beast, good heavens.
Winter winds do come and blow. The spring, the flowers do grow. In summertime, here's a girl with three left toes stepping out of her glass booth here. Oh, my goodness sake. You did it again?
I know.
They said it couldn't be done.
But I did.
You did it. You fell over an L&M pack here, right in the studio. It was wedged in there in the mic cable, I see.
Yes.
Boy, you are really one clumsy dame.
Sounds like the Chinese act, one clumsy dame.
Oh, boy, is that bad. Here she is, ladies and gentlemen, after she stepped out of her glass booth here at Radio Central, Washington's own weather girl, Miss Janitor, with the temperatures, we hope.
See the bow wow. Look at the bow wow wag his tail. See the bow wow run. See the bow wow chase the kitty.
Hey, wow, bow. I don't want to be the critical type here, but... You refugee from Atlantic Monthly, what are you reviewing now?
These are children's books. I'm babysitting on the side this summer.
That must be uncomfortable.
I thought I would rehearse. And if you'd like me to sit with your youngsters, remember to call.
I have no youngsters.
Well,
no free plugs on the air. Get her off, Art. Get at her. Yes, come on down the street here. We got to hurry and get over to WRC, otherwise we're going to...
Nice day, isn't it?
Hey, look.
Hmm?
Son of a gun. There's an old weighing machine over there that tells your fortune.
Oh, yeah. Those things are phony. You know
that. This is fun. Let's go. I haven't weighed myself in a long time. Yeah, here.
All right. Hop up on there.
Okay.
Thanks.
Put the money in. Son of a... Look. Hey, that's
all
a card.
Right.
Yeah, let's see what the card says. The card says you weigh 210 pounds, your eyes are brown, and you're going to do a radio. That's amazing.
Oh, that could never happen twice. I got a penny here. Try it again.
Bait could never happen again.
Try it again.
Okay. Yeah, because that thing is a gimmick.
Oh,
this is one of those. Hey, another card.
The
card says you still weigh 210 pounds, your eyes are still brown, and you're still going to do a radio show this afternoon. Isn't that amazing?
This is silly.
That's the greatest little thing in the world.
Somebody knew we were coming.
Oh, yeah. Somebody
picked
up. Sure. Let me try it once more.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, this is great. Hey, another card.
Yeah.
Let's see what it says. It says you still weigh 210 pounds, your eyes are still brown, and you just missed the opening of your radio show.
Yes!
We're watching some flicks in here.
No.
We have some movies going on.
Now, the reason I'm laughing, I just told Arthur to put up a weather jingle, then I realized I don't even have the weather forecast.
Figures.
All
right.
Frank Forrester. He's got all the dope. Something personal, Frank.
The time at WRC.
We got that.
It's 20 and a half minutes after the hour of 4 o'clock, and I think I'm ready for a vacation.
Wait a minute.
Know.
Before you go, let me remind you that the radio business is one of the most exciting. Quit giggling and laying your eggs up there. Let's land it together. Radio is one of the biggest bombs going in the hill.
Go, great moments in history.
It's time once more for Great Moments in History. The facts and true story behind momentous events that have helped to shape the present day world. And now for today's exciting true story on Great Moments in History. Our scene is Frederick, Maryland, the year 1863. The story behind Barbara Fritchie and her famous stand for the flag of her country. As our scene opens, the Confederate soldiers and their horses are in the street.
Hold it, boys. Hold it. Call Miss Fritchie and see if she's up there.
All right, Colonel. Miss Fritchie. Miss Barbara Fritchie.
Yes.
Wait a minute. You jump your line. Miss Fritchie. Are you up there in the Fritchie house?
Yes, I'm up here making candy.
All right, Miss Fritchie.
Colonel, I think she's ready.
All right. Go ahead and tell her that you wanted to surrender.
Oh, is it my time to tell her? All right, Miss Fritchie. Either you surrender or we'll get a new writer. That don't seem right. Either you surrender, Miss Fritchie, or we must shoot your head.
Shoot if you must, this old gray head, but spare the country's flag.
I think she did that rather nicely. Would you take it again from the top, Miss Fritchie?
I say, shoot if you must, this old gray head, but spare the country's flag.
Colonel, it's your line.
All right, hand me the gun.
Yes, sir, here it is. Miss Fritchie, are you hurt?
I don't think so, but I fell on my bonbons.
Never could stand a smarter lucky Yankee woman.
And that's today's exciting true story on Great Moments in History, the truth behind Barbara Fritchie and why she fell on her bonbons. That doesn't sound right. Fritchie and why she fell on her bonbons. General Frills, makers of dip guns and chocolate-covered grasshoppers, presents another exciting episode of The Lone Ranger. Return with us out of those grooming days of yesteryear, when out on the west come the thundering hoofbeats of great horse Heathcliff. The Lone Ranger rides again.
On Heathcliff! Hey, big fellow! We gotta get to Toto's TP!
Nowhere in the pages of history can you find a greater champion of justice. With his faithful Indian companion, Toto, a masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the Old West. And now, as our story opens, we find the Lone Ranger in Toto's teepee. Apparently, the Lone Ranger, the masked rider of the plains, and his faithful Indian companion are planning some sort of a party. Let's listen as the masked rider says to Toto.
Toto, I feel very restless today. If you don't mind, I think I'll stand up and walk around the teepee for a
Him, good man, Kimoswami. You walk around the teepee if you want.
That's right, Toto. I'm
okay.
Restless today.
Masked man, you rip whole side out of wall, TP.
I told you before, Tonto, you should get a prefab house and have this problem.
Him, good prefab house, yeah.
Let me just walk over on this side of the TP.
Masked man, I want air conditioning, but this ridiculous, You send back Sears Roebuck, get new canvas. Well, masked man, Tonto wants to know something.
Yes, Tonto, what do you want to know?
You are the Lone Ranger. You have part-time job this summer, huh?
That's right, Kimosabe. I'm working evenings at Perpetual.
You are truly a Lone Ranger.
Absolutely, Tonto.
Mm-hmm.
Now then, Kimosabe, we must discuss the plans for our... Here, have a tum, Tonto.
Tonto, stomach on bum.
I think we better discuss the plans for our Western party, Tonto. Have you got it?
Masked man, you better... better sit down. You are wrecking complete teepee.
Yes, I'll sit down, Tonto. I'm rocking the boat here.
Now
then...
Now you've wrecked Indian blanket. Don't sit over there. Here, sit on the next fire.
Not on the ashes there, Tonto.
Yeah, now, about party, masked man.
Yes, what is the list of people that we're going to invite to our party?
Me ask you, masked man. You have Wyatt Earp?
No, Tonto, I don't think I'll invite him. He snubbed me at the last union negotiation.
You invite Bat Masterson?
No, he swings that cane too much for me, Tonto.
You have Burt Maverick?
No, I don't think I will, Tonto. I lost too much money the last time I gambled with Maverick.
You're not going to have Gene Autry in that twang, twang, twang guitar.
No, he's too selfish with his chewing gum, Tonto.
I see, masked man. You topped me in that lib again. Well, if you not invite Maverick, if you not invite all big Western stars, who Western star you invite?
I'm going to invite Annie Oakley, Tonto.
It's
not that kind of a party.
Me too,
No, I want to be alone, Tonto.
Well, if you don't start using women, masked man, you stay alone.
Home Arranger is a Campbell Trimble mild cure cure, cure peace, a mild, a chupam, a tamble ram, a shamble tamble, a ramble, a gile, a gile, a gile.
I guess about that time, Edward.
All righty. I hate to get up, but it's time to walk down the halls here of NBC and pay our weekly visit to this door here, which is Mark's experimental kitchen. A little shoulder behind the door there, Willie.
Ah, there we go.
I'll help you push it open. Welcome to Betty Crockett's experimental kitchen. This time, we invite you to join Miss Betty Crockett, WRC's home economist, queen of the kitchen range. And here she is, cha-chaing around her kitchen. Betty Crockett. Well, Betty, you look at your trip there. I'm sorry to help you up there, Betty.
Help an old lady up. Hello, lady.
Betty, can I have some of that bagel fat?
I said, get your hands off my bagel fat.
I'm sorry.
The thing I can't stand is a grabby engineer. Don't touch me if you don't love me.
Betty, are you going to kiss the groom? Willard is a newlywed now, you know.
I don't want to kiss no broom.
No,
the
groom.
The groom? Yes, groom. The groom. Oh, Willard.
Yeah, give him a kiss.
Please, Betty, I don't think that.
Come on now, Willard.
Betty, see here now, Scarlett. Betty,
that's enough. Hold it. That's enough. Right. Now,
let me bang my bubble gum, will you, buddy?
I thought possibly you might have a
experiment over here.
Good recipe for this afternoon because.
Yes, hello, Eddie. I do.
Hi, Betty. How
are you?
I thought maybe something. Willard and Mary have a lovely house and they cook out a lot. I thought maybe you might have something for Mary's new recipe book that she's starting.
Well, if she wants one, I'll be glad to send her a copy of old Betty's.
No, I thought maybe you could give one on the radio. For
no, all right.
Sure.
All right. Today's recipe, girls and Mary. I mean, Mary is a girl. Of course.
Yes, Mary's a grand old name.
Oh, you're poetical. Yes. You laugh at Arthur, your hand.
I guess I was looking for some of that bubblegum pie over there.
You're getting all sticky around there. Girls, today I thought you might like something for a cookout that might be interesting and delightful. It's called Asbestos Hamburgers.
Asbestos Hamburgers. Oh, would you elaborate on that just a little bit, please?
I would if I knew what elaborate meant.
Tell us more about it.
Oh, well, why didn't you say that?
Well, I was trying
to... Smarter like a college punk.
No, I'm just...
All right, hey, I'll do her. Well, girls, you know how it is when you get your cookouts going good and you get your hamburgers on the charcoal grill, and about every other time somebody burns their little fingers, don't you know?
Yes, or the meat scorches or something.
Yes,
like
it does. Mm-hmm. And so what you do, girls, is just wrap up your hamburgers in a little sheet of asbestos and put them on the grill, and then when they come off, you don't burn your fingers, don't you know?
Only has a couple of fallacies, Betty.
I don't know.
You can't very well eat the asbestos, can you? And the hamburger...
Sure, you can. You dip in the asbestos, first of all, in a special sauce.
Your special sauce?
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
Bacon and Bull Durham beef sauce.
That sounds delightful, huh?
That takes away the bite.
I'll bet it does.
Takes away the whole thing, then. In fact, you got to watch where you're...
You would recommend this for a cookout, would you?
Heavens, no. Not even to my worst enemy. Well, I'll see you later.
Thank you very much, Betty. You've been visiting...
So long until tomorrow.
...with Miss Betty Crockett, WRC's home economist from WRC's Experimental Kitchen. We'll be back with you next Tuesday, and once again, it's time for Miss Betty Crockett. So long for now.
So long for now.
Can I just have one piece?
I've told you time and time again.
Let's close the door and get out of here.
Thank you.